We're starting a new series today called The Anointing, and I want to take about 3 or 4 weeks to talk about the anointing, because this is one of those words that it's kind of Christianese. Like if you're not Christian, you don't really use the word anointing a lot. Or what about this? Like sometimes we'll say like, oh wow, they were anointed. And it's just one of those things that we say, like when you think about it, well, what do we mean when we say they're anointed? What are we trying to communicate by this word? And so I want to try to, in this first week, kind of clear up some misconceptions and lay some groundwork about what is the anointing. And the anointing is this: it's the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our life. That's what the anointing is. It's the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want to be anointed. I want to have the anointing of God on my life. And there's nothing wrong with claiming to be anointed. There's nothing wrong with having the desire to be anointed. And so it's the Spirit that empowers us to do naturally or to do supernaturally what we can't do on our own. Or it takes what the gifts and talents that we do have naturally, and it puts a supernatural element to it. That God takes what we already have to offer, and it's like he pours the gasoline on and lights us aflame to do even more. And the word anointing is translated from the Greek word chrisma, which is the root word for Christ. And so when we talk about Jesus the Messiah, what we're really saying is Jesus the Anointed One. All anointing originates from Jesus. And so when we walk in his anointing, we're living out our calling as sons and daughters of him. And so by our very nature, if we are a part of the kingdom of God, if we are sons and daughters of God, we are anointed. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. And so I want to give us just some background on the anointing. And we see the anointing in the Old Testament, that is before Jesus. And the anointing was put on holy things, like different furniture in the tabernacle. They were anointed and set apart by God to do what they were supposed to do. And then there was the anointing of priests, that the priests that would minister to the people, that would minister in the tabernacle, they were anointed of God to do that. They were anointed to go beyond the limits of the tabernacle and go before the very presence of God and minister between God and the people. There were also the anointing of kings. David was anointed, Saul was anointed, and we see that when the anointing comes upon them, there's a manifestation of the Spirit. Saul begins to prophesy when he is anointed. And so they were anointed to represent God to the people as kings. And then there was the anointing of separate individuals for a specific tasks. That when they built the tabernacle, there were men, there were carpenters. God anointed them to build that structure. God anointed them to do that specific task. And the anointing basically was only on a few select people before Jesus came. That the anointing was very limited. It wasn't as broad as what it is today. Now I tell you all that information to tell you this. You and I are every one of those that I just listed. We are holy things. We are holy objects that have been set apart and bought with a price, that are to be used for God's glory. That's what we see happening here this weekend, that we have an anointing upon us to do the work of the Lord. We are also priests. What does Peter say? You are a royal what? Priesthood. That, guess what? Whether you like it or not, if you have the anointing of God in your life and you're saved, know what you are? You're a priest. You know what priests do? They connect people with God. And that was always God's intention. He wanted Israel to be a kingdom of priests. He's always wanted not just a few select people called preachers who work for a church to be his priests. He's wanted every one of his people to be a priest. So you're anointed to connect people to God. You are also a king. You are a king and a queen in the family of God. You know why? Because one day we're going to rule and reign with him. on the new heaven and the new earth. And God's preparing us for that time. So you know what? You have the anointing of a king upon you. And that we've been anointed for a special task. There's a task that God has for you that only you can do. I can't do it. Your neighbor can't do it. The Rock can't do it. Only you can do it. Sorry, that's the first celebrity that came to my mind. Got the Rock on my mind today. I don't know. And so if you don't know who the Rock is, Google it. But not right now. And so it's the anointing that empowered different individuals in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to do what God had called them to do. And oftentimes it was a very almost impossible task. It was the anointing that empowered Elijah to confront the prophets of Baal and to call out their idolatry and to call out Jezebel. It was the anointing that was on David to kill Goliath. And I'm going to step out, and I believe that David knew without a doubt that he would kill Goliath. You know why? A few years earlier, he had been anointed as king by Samuel. And he was anointed with oil. And he knew that he had not yet fulfilled his destiny in that anointing. And I really believe this. I believe that David had confidence to fight Goliath because he knew that the anointing of God was on him and nothing could take him out. I want to tell you, when the anointing of God is upon you, that you have supernatural power to take on the enemies and the giants in your life. Somebody preach to me a little bit today. How many wants the anointing? How many wants the favor and the blessing of God? It was the anointing that was on Peter on the day of Pentecost to preach the message that we follow today. And so it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that takes our natural gifts and gives them a supernatural element. And here's what the anointing is and what it does for us. It helps us operate in a level that seems completely natural to us that may seem foreign to other people. That's how you know you are operating in your anointing. Your anointing will make it easy for you to do what God has called you to do. And the anointing of God on an individual leads to what is good, and it blesses and encourages other people, but it also edifies yourself. In other words, you were born to do whatever it is that God's anointed you to do. That when you are operating in your anointing, there's no doubt, there's no second guessing. This is what God's called me to do. This is what I'm blessed to do. And God has gifted all of us with special abilities, with special gifts. And those abilities, you know, they don't always function easily. But when the anointing comes upon us, it's almost like we don't even have to try. That it just, it's very natural. And just speaking on a personal basis, I see this in my own life. I believe that God has anointed me to preach. God has anointed me to do this. And that's not being overconfident. That's not being, you know, arrogant or whatever. That's not what I'm trying to be. But I do believe that God has anointed me to do this. And there's some weeks where it's like the scriptures jump off the page. I write down a few notes and everything comes together in about an hour. Then there's other weeks where it's a real struggle. The ADD is going out of control and I can't find a thought and I can't, you know, and then what I'm trying to say is that the anointing sometimes goes in ebbs and flows. There's some Sundays when I'm preaching and I feel like I'm really connecting with everybody. And then there's some days I'm preaching and it just doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. And here's the reason for that. Here's the reason for why the anointing comes and goes. It shows us that it comes from God. The anointing that you have did not come from you. It came from God. And we have to be dependent upon Him for the anointing in our life to do what it's supposed to do. And so sometimes God lets us go through, I don't know, maybe what you'd call dry spells, so that we come back to this fact is that God, whatever you've anointed me to do, I want to do it for you, and it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about my kingdom. It's about your kingdom. Anybody feel that way? Can we lift up our hands and receive it in Jesus' name? All right, so I want to give us 3 points today about the anointing. Number one, realize that you are anointed. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, you're anointed? I'll say it again. I'll say it with some attitude. Say, you're anointed. You have a calling on your life today. The anointing is this. It is something that everybody has. Everybody has an anointing. And I'm going to hold on. I'm going to read a scripture here. But the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, he says this, "For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." You know what Paul is saying here? He's saying everybody has a gift. Everybody has an anointing, which, by the way, anointing and gift, they're basically interchangeable. And here's what he's saying is that we have a tendency as humans to elevate certain parts of the body. How many ever, though, like you ever like break your little toe or something? Or some, you know, smaller part of your body, and then you realize how important it is. And then you might be here today and you're like, "Well, Pastor, I'm just the fingernail in the body of Christ. I'm not important." Well, you have a purpose. We need fingernails. Not too long, but we need them. And here's the thing. For so long, and I think we're finally getting out of this, but for so long in church, the only anointed people were singers and preachers. And it's like, you know, if you preach really well, you're anointed. If you sing really well, you're anointed. But Sunday school teachers, you know, that's just, you know, the people that help in Kids Blast, you know, they're just doing their job. I want to tell you, we need anointed Sunday school teachers. We need anointed Kids Blast helpers. We need anointed greeters. We need anointed parking lot attendants. Everybody in this place has an anointing. And it's powerful. You know, I want to say this. This week, I've seen people step out into their anointing. There's a businessman in this church, and I'm not going to say his name because it'd embarrass him. But this week, I believe he stepped into his anointing. He went business to business, and he went to different places. And I was, like, talking on the phone to him, and he's like, "Pastor, we need this and this." And I'm, like, in mid-sentence. He's like, "Hey, Pastor, I got to go. I see somebody I need to get money out of." All right. Go in peace, brother. Amen. As pastors, you never prolong those conversations. Yes, go. Praise the Lord. But that's an anointing. And it's just as powerful as what I'm doing right now. You know why? Because the body of Christ needs that. You know why? Because I am terrible at asking for stuff. Does anybody, like, you just hate to be told no? I don't have that gift, but there's people that have that gift, that they have a way just of getting done what needs to be done. And I want to tell you, that's useful. You do not want me packing a truck. Those guys out there, I believe Brother Tom Carr, he helped pack the truck yesterday. And there was an anointing on that, the gift of organization to say, you know what, you don't need to put this here. You need to put this here, you know, to make this all work. And it takes everybody coming together and their anointing for the body of Christ to work. Oh, come on, somebody. And so when all of these anointings work together and we're not elevating one over the other and we're not making celebrities out of other, but we're just glorifying Christ, something beautiful happens. And I want to say this, you know, a lot of times we associate anointing, especially in Pentecostal spirit-filled circles, it's like the preacher's anointed. Like sometimes people come to say, "Pastor, you were really anointed Sunday." And I get to thinking about it, and really what they're saying is, "Wow, you used a lot of volume. You shouted a lot on Sunday." But I believe that God can anoint me talking just like this. And whether you say amen or not, it can still be anointed. And that's what we want. We want the anointing of God. That's not about us. But I've seen singers anointed that didn't hit all the right notes. But there was something working inside of them that it was just, you could feel it. And so it's beyond even really even ability. It's about God doing something supernaturally in us that's not explainable. And so there are some gifts, there are some anointings that are more high profile, you could say, than others. But listen to what Paul says a few verses down in verse 21. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Do you realize how much help we have to pull off one service on Sunday? And every part, every anointing that's at play this morning, it's indispensable. If everything was about, you know, what I could do and mom and dad and Danielle, this would be a mess. But we have so many people this morning running around doing different things, and that's people working in their anointing to see the body of Christ work. And so the question is this, and this is really where we have to be careful, is will you accept your anointing, or will you let your ambition and insecurities get the best of you? Because here's the thing. I have to realize that my anointing that God has placed in my life, it's something very personal, and it's not something that anybody else has. And sometimes, even as ministers, we get a little bit overly ambitious, and we get insecure. And what I have to realize is that there's probably pastors and preachers out there who are more eloquent than I am. There are pastors out there that are better at organization than I am. And I have to realize that that's their anointing. And I can't copy their anointing. You know, it's like I can practice jump shots all day long, but I'll never be Michael Jordan, right? It's just not going to happen. And by the way, you do not have to be saved. And this is going to be really controversial. I really believe this. You don't have to be saved to have an anointing. Just the fact that you come into this world in the image of God, God imprints a little bit of anointing on you. Now, when you come into the body of Christ, it's like it takes off and it's used in a supernatural way. But you know what? The singers that are out there that aren't a part of the body of Christ, you know what you're hearing? You're hearing a little bit of anointing. You're seeing, it's called common grace. And it's how we steward those things that determines how our anointing's used. And so God anointed us even before we were converted. And the anointing that we experience post-conversion is this. It's the same anointing that we had, the same gifting that was always there. It's just now it has a supernatural quality about it. And so there's some of you here today, you're anointed. You're not where you need to be in God. But I want to tell you that if you stay with Him and if you stay on the journey, God's going to take what you already have and He's going to throw a match on it. You see, because when we are anointed by God for a purpose, that makes all the difference. If you're using your anointing for you, that's not going to satisfy. All right, so this is the first thing is we have to realize that we are anointed. Second thing is this, we have to identify and accept your anointing. Identify and accept your anointing. We have to find out what is it that God has anointed me to do. And so how do we identify this? Well, I want to put in a plug for Growth Track. We got Growth Track starting next Sunday morning at 9:30. It's 3 weeks. If you've been coming to church for a little bit, if you're new here, you'd like to find out more about our church, I'm just asking for 3 weeks. And on the third week, we do a gift inventory, and we find out what your gifts are, and then we try to stick you in a place in our church where those gifts are going to be used. So quick commercial. There you go. But we have to identify our gifts. And here's some questions to ask what your anointing is and how to identify it. What feels natural to you that blesses other people? What feels natural that you do that blesses other people? That there's some people, they have the gift of encouragement. There's some people that they have the gift of prayer. That you know, for some of us, it's a real challenge to focus for, you know, an extended period of time in prayer. And for other people, it's just very natural. And I believe that's a gift. All of those things are gifts. What is it that you get involved in here at church, and it's like, man, I love that. I live for that. Well, I want to tell you, that's probably your anointing. Or what about this? What is it that you have a passion for? You know, people come up to me all the time. Say, Pastor, you know, wouldn't it be great if our church did da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And what they really mean is, Pastor, wouldn't it be great if you did da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And so usually I tell them, wow, that's awesome. It sounds like God has put a burden in your heart for that. That's probably your anointing. And so you have to, there's responsibility that comes with this. And the next question is, what has God allowed me to do in my life that would maybe make those gifts flourish? Maybe it's education. Maybe it's training, something you've done on your job or your work experience that really helps you in some area of the kingdom of God. I want to tell you that, you know, God uses the secular for his glory. God used Daniel in Babylon. He was extremely educated, and he was used in high levels of government. Why? Because God had put an anointing on his life, and sometimes we have to remember it's not all about what we get right here. Amen. Anybody with me? It's not about all what we do in the altar. Sometimes it's about what we do in the classroom. That's why, young people, you need to be the best student you can be. Why? Because there's an anointing in that. There's an anointing in education. There's an anointing in training in specific fields. And I know this doesn't have a shout today, but it's still true. That we need to be the best people of God that we can be in any circumstance, so that we can have answers and that we can provide solutions to problems. Come on, somebody. Anybody with me today? And so then we have to identify our anointing. Then we have to accept our anointing. And here's often what happens is people get frustrated when they do things that God has never called them to do. You know, some people come in here and they just see a big platform. And so they think, if I'm used by God, I have to somehow get up on that platform. And that might happen, but that's not what the anointing's not limited to this platform. Very little, or just a small percentage. It takes everybody moving and their anointing, and you have to accept what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be. You know, I'll just say, I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't really covet this. But you know what? It came through a series of events and things that happened in my life. I discovered I was anointed to do this. And it's not always, it talks about your passion. You know what? If you get to operating in your anointing, God will give you the passion. Because when you see what God starts to do in your life, how God starts blessing other people, you can't refuse it. Why? Because it's the best thing you can experience. And I'm going to say this, outside of salvation, the greatest thing that you have in your life is your anointing. There are two things you want to protect in your life. You want to protect your relationship with God, and you want to protect your anointing. Why? Because it's very unique. It's very special. And oftentimes what Satan will try to do is take anointed people and get them a drunk on themselves. Get them drunk on ego. And that's how we start to be careless with our anointing, when we start to be loose with how we protect the gifts that God has given us. It's when we get off the rails, because here's the thing, we can still be anointed by God, but not be in right relationship with him. I can prove that to you. Saul, he went off the rails big time, didn't he? He was still anointed. You think of Israel, they rejected the message of Jesus. And Paul says in Romans 9 through 11, he's talking about, you know, what's the future of Israel? People are asking questions, is God done with Israel? And in chapter 11, he says, no, he's not done with them. Why? Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that's why people who maybe have a particular gift, but they're not in right relationship with God, they get the two confused. The gift comes from God, it's not God. We don't worship the gift. We don't worship the anointing. So will we take responsibility and will we steward our anointing? You see, the anointing that God has given me, it's a precious responsibility. And how I use my anointing can either help a lot of people or it can hurt a lot of people. And that's the responsibility that all of us must have. And sometimes we have to realize this, is that God, I just want to be a part of your kingdom. I just want to give you glory. We have to have the attitude, God, it is not about me, which brings me to my third point, is that we have to do this. We have to identify and accept our anointing. And point three, we have to accept that the anointing given to us isn't about us. If God has anointed you to sing, it's not about you. If God has anointed you to do anything, it's not about you. And I want to show you. You know, if there's anybody in the Old Testament who is anointed, I would say it was Joseph. Joseph had the anointing to give and interpret dreams. But here's the thing. God had to show him through a series of events that anointing was not about him. Remember at the breakfast table when he's a kid, he tells all the brothers, yeah, I had a dream last night. And basically, you guys are all going to bow down to me. So God says, uh-oh, he's anointed, but we're going to have to show him character. We're going to have to show him restraint. So God allows him to be persecuted. He allows him to be mistreated, allows him to be accused, although he was innocent. And he brings them through these series of events. And here's the reason why. The gifts of the Spirit have to be accompanied by the fruit of the Spirit. Amen, somebody. I don't want to just be gifted. I want to have fruits. I want to have peace, love, joy, gentleness, meekness. And here's the thing. An anointed person without the fruits of the Spirit is dangerous. But a person who has the anointing of God and the fruits of the Spirit in their life can be incredibly useful and powerful in the kingdom of God. And so back to Joseph. Joseph's anointing was real, but it had to be refined before God could use him for his purpose. And so we all know the story, that just as Joseph's life spiraled out of control very quickly, just as quickly he is made second in command in all of Egypt. And we see that his gifts were used, what? To save not only Egypt, but to save the entire world. And here's two things I want to show you from Joseph's anointing that we have to learn. And that's number one, the reason God anointed Joseph was so that the line of the Messiah would be protected. Let me walk this out a little bit. You see, if Joseph doesn't come to power in Egypt and he doesn't bring his dreams, if he doesn't bring the vision that God has given, here's what's going to happen. Not only is people in Egypt going to die, but his family are going to die. And he has a brother named Judah, who has a son named Perez. And through that line would come Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. And if Joseph's anointing isn't operating, there is no Jesus. And what I want to tell you today is this: your anointing isn't about you, it's about Jesus. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus. There's somebody out there today that if you don't operate in your anointing and the gifting that God has given you, they may never see a Jesus. They may never meet a Savior. And so in my anointing, what I'm doing today isn't about me. It's not about me getting publicity. It's not about you telling me I preached a good sermon. It's about Jesus. Some of you need to meet Jesus. Some of you need to take Jesus outside of these doors. Why? Because there's a world outside of these doors that's hungry and they need to eat. And we have the answer today. We have the anointing of God upon our life. The second reason why Joseph's anointing, what God had to show him, it's not about him. Number one, it's about Jesus. Number two, it's about feeding a hungry world. It's about feeding a hungry world. That God has, as I just said, God has given you gifts. God has given you an anointing. And it's about using that anointing to help people. To help people. That's what it's about. It's not about us having a nice building. It's not about us making WAND news. It's not about us getting some good press on Facebook. It's all about helping Jesus, glorifying Jesus, and feeding and helping people. That's it. That's our mission. That's our purpose. We're not here today to make ourselves feel good. We're not here today to just go through religious activities. We want to propel Jesus Christ, and we want to feed hungry people physically and spiritually. Come on, somebody. Amen. The CR crowd, your anointing's about helping people and spreading Jesus Christ. The Kids Blast, it's all about helping people and spreading Jesus Christ. Anything that we do in this church, anything God has anointed you to do, it's about spreading Jesus Christ and helping people. Can we stand to our feet today and can we give God a praise? Does anybody want the anointing of God upon your life? I wonder, can we lift up our hands all over this place? And if you want the anointing of God upon your life, that, you know what, you're tired of just being a pew sitter, you're tired of just the same old, but you're ready for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life, why don't you lift up your hands all over this building, and why don't you just simply say, Lord, anoint me for your purpose. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would anoint, Lord, every person in this place today, God. I pray, God, as we go out, Lord, into our jobs, into our businesses, when we go, oh God, into places this week where there's no hope, God, I pray, anoint our lips, God. I pray, anoint, God, our minds, God. Give us ideas, God, Lord, that we can't get on our own, God. Give us, Lord.